Coming up on TMS, I made a juicer's nightmare yesterday.
School is back, suckers!
Who do you blame when your scrotum is gigantic?
Kesha. Losing weight the gross way.
I don't want to talk about why we'd blame her, but sure, why not? Dick Van Dyke pulled from a flaming car.
Breaking Bad fans are not sure what 911 is really for.
Who's going to be here to get shorty?
Fitness geek.
Recommendals.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
New Orange Twist has a taste you can't resist. Because it's got fresh orange flavor.
No other orange drink has a taste quite like New Orange Twist.
New Orange Twist has a taste you can't resist. Cause it's got fresh orange flavor from the midst of the twist. New Orange Twist.
New Orange Twist refreshment drink.
Just plain stupid ignorance.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Terrific equipment to have in battle.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. Cool refreshment drink, Brian. The 70s, late 70s, early 80s, that's when we didn't get bothered by things like, there's nothing in here that's real, it's just a...
high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, yes. It's just a cool refreshment drink.
Cool refreshment drink.
Where flavor mattered more than the content of the actual thing. Sure. And that put us, I believe, on like a 20-year path of accepting garbage as sustenance. And right. Just now are we starting to go, yeah, maybe we ought not be just drinking that.
So a little caramel coloring, some high fructose corn syrup, mm-hmm. and some carbonated water, call that a pop. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
And you'd have guys with big mutton chops just pounding it down after a hot, sweaty tennis session, you know, and they come running in and drink their refreshment drink, and they got their knee-high socks with the stripes on them and the really short, tight shorts and the hair that needs trimming. Like, all that stuff was going on, and you were led to believe that orange twist was somehow better than anything else in the world.
Right. What do you remember a drink called Rondo?
No. Just remind me of Rondo.
It was a yellow can. I'm going to try and find a picture of it online. a big yellow can. And it was like a carbonated lemonade, if I remember. Like somewhere between lemonade and Mountain Dew.
And this would have been when we were 70s. Little. Pretty kid, yeah, small 70s. Kids. Okay, let me see if here's a commercial. Let's see if this rings any bells for you here.
Okay.
It's Karate Guys.
These men are working up a Rondo thirst.
Yes, that's exactly it. That
These men exactly. are working up a Rondo thirst. All right,
that's
let's see what else they say.
When they get done, they're not going to want a soda they have to sip. They're going to want a Rondo. Rondo's lightly carbonated, so you can slam it down fast. Rondo has a clean, citrus taste that's never sticky. Rondo. The thirst crusher.
The thirst crusher. And it has a thirst taste, a citrus taste that is never sticky. So.
That's right. And, you know, is lightly carbonated. So you can just chug the whole can, you know, in a matter of seconds. Because that's, you know, that's my problem with pop is that you're forced to drink it so slowly.
Right. It's such a problem. You know, if you can't get through that thing in 30 seconds or less, then why the hell did you buy a six pack of it? Forget
right.
it.
Right.
It's just funny because especially, you know, if it's soda like Rondo here,
yeah,
or Coke or anything, the way people pound them down as thirst quenchers mm-hmm. after, you know, and they're hot, hard body, beach volleyball looking people
right.
who are just like, ah, what do I need now? I need the cool, refreshing taste of the worst possible thing for me that will not hydrate me at all.
Right, exactly.
It'll just plug my arteries up. So it's always been
a Rondo, and then I'll drink a glass of water, which is what I probably should have done in the first place. Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, you buy into this. You're like, Dad, that looks good.
Yes.
But now you're right. like, oh, dude, well, who was I? What was I doing?
I watch Tristan all the time. Like, he'll come in from mowing the lawn. He'll pop open a Pepsi, and he'll chug it down.
Yeah.
And, like, couldn't you have gotten the same effect with water and tasted about as much of the water as you did that Pepsi?
Yes, is the answer. And he would say, no, Dad, this is better somehow.
Shut up.
whatever. You know what? It's funny because you have to sometimes, like Taylor's ghosts in the apartment thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have to let them have it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? All right, fine. Go have some fun drama about ghost hunters in your apartment. One day you'll laugh and think that's dumb.
Exactly, as opposed to stepping in. Yeah, I gotta. Yeah, that is a true.
I gotta keep saying that instead of like, you know, she could be, you know, snorting lines of coke off the back of a homeless man in the ditch somewhere. Like, it could be way worse than this. So.
Save it for when you can actually save a life, right? Save right. the parenting for
right. Pick your battles is what they say, that the kids say, right? Pick your battles. Take the ones that matter and don't worry about the ones that are stupid. All right. There's some parenting advice for you. Now here's some juicing advice for you.
Okay. Juicing. All right.
Well, all right. So people in the chat room can see this. There's like a nearly spent, I don't know what this even is.
It's like you're drinking it out of one of those clear ketchup squeezers.
Yeah, dude.
Without the top.
Yeah, like a ketchup squeezer. You're right. Although I don't think they make those clear. And here's why I think they don't make those ketchup things clear. It's not because they don't want to show you the ketchup inside. Mm. It's because they don't want any of those flies that were trapped in there during the bottling process to show up visibly. Sure. Anyway, so this is a juice drink. Kim made this morning. It's got a pineapple in there, a pear, an apple, a tomato, some carrots, bunch of carrots, some kale. Like it's really damn good. Like she's got just the right mix. The fruit part of it totally kills the bitter veggie part of it. It's really good. So I'm all into this juicing thing. I've been talking about it for days, and it's awesome. She's got the touch. She can just and make the right thing.
She knows the right combo, the right things to put together.
Yep, pushing all the right buttons. Yesterday, mm-hmm. I'm on my own, no one's around, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and try something here. I'm gonna make me the equivalent of like a big lunch, homemade V8. You know, just a hearty tomatoey, carroty thing. I was going to make that, and that was going to be my meal, and I was so proud going in. I'm like, yes, this is what I'm going to do. So I get in the fridge, and I pull out a bunch of celery and a bunch of kale and a bunch of carrots and all these things and a cucumber, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to make this homemade style. I'm even put a little salt in there. That'll be good because there's a little bit of salt in those VHs, right?
Right.
And I'm going to put a couple drops of like Tabasco in there because that'll give it a nice little kick, right? And I'm going to have like this tomato juice thing that you could get at a restaurant. This is going to be like quality, fresh, amazing stuff, and if you don't drink it now, it's going to go bad and grow foam by the next day. So you got to drink it now because it's so damn healthy. Your body just has to absorb it. I'm really excited. So I grind all these things up. It comes out. Put it in the thing. It was the worst thing I've ever done in my life.
Really?
Oh my
really
gosh, Brian. That bad. Seriously, I thought I was going to yak. I almost yacked. It was so bad. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll put some ice in it because it's a little warm. It's kind of room temperature. So I put some ice in it, going to mix that around a little bit, took a bad Instagram picture of it, and then drink. And even on Instagram, I was like woefully optimistic. I said, this is better than it looks, I think was my caption.
Right, right.
Which was a lie.
Let me hold my nose while I try and take another gulp.
And I really tried, dude. I got like three gulps in, and I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore. And it killed my appetite, so I was kind of like not hungry anymore, so it kind of worked. But I ended up wasting like half. It was probably about half the size of this because I just couldn't do it. It was so bad. Ugh, it was so bad.
That's funny.
So I've learned, so two things I've learned. One, if I'm going to make them on my own, I got to go buy some recipe, you know, not buy, purchase. Right. I mean, like, you know, refer
to. Follow a recipe.
A recipe. Or Kim's just in charge of making them because they're real good when she makes them. She made one the other day that was similar in a similar concoction in terms of what I was trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
But somehow she nailed it. It was fan-freaking-tastic and I loved it and I craved more when she was done. But she didn't really do anything special that I know. That's what I'm saying. She's got this weird, like, I don't know, ethereal touch for food.
Well, it sounds like she knows the fruit situation. Do the fruit situation. Yeah. Don't try and go off the board.
Yeah,
you know, and go funky with these crazy little
even when she goes real veggie heavy, it's still fine. I don't know what she's doing. I mean, there if you put a lemon or a lime in either category, whatever you're making, That pretty much solved your problem. And I didn't put one in there.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I don't know. Anyway, I'm loving it.
You're really close. You are so close to getting me to just break down and get one of these things. It sounds so, it sounds ideal.
It's really good. It's really good. And the Breville's are nice. We've learned that these things are so easy to clean that it's like a piece of freaking cake.
I'm looking at it right now on Amazon. I'm so damn close.
We got the 149 one.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
It seemed middle of the roadish and the reviews were good. And
well, that's the thing. I mean, when you make a product, you make an expensive high-end version, you make a cheapo economy version, but what you're doing is really you're just saying you want to buy the middle version.
Yeah, you know, that's what you're setting it up for. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You want Willis. You don't want Dana Plato or Gary Coleman. You want Willis in the middle.
You want Todd Bridges.
Was Todd Bridges in the middle? I think he was. Was he the middle kid? He's
the only survivor.
Yeah, that's true. Right? Dude, he is. Mr. Drummond's gone.
Drummond's gone. Isn't Mrs. Garrett gone, too?
I think so, yeah. I think everybody from that show, other than things that were spawned from it, like silver spoons and stuff.
Right. Facts of life. Yeah. You know, he's looking, Todd Bridges looking awfully suspicious now, right?
Yeah, dude. Why don't you explain yourself, Todd? What's going
what
on?
What happened? What happened to... okay. So Jester says that Mrs. Garrett is still kicking.
Oh, well, that's not probably good. Someone should put her in her misery.
Stop kicking, lady.
All right. So anyway, there's my juice nightmare. And I've learned my lesson. I'm gonna be good.
Blair!
So kids are back in school. That's
yes.
good. How's it going with... it was little, Tristan excited, nervous, or what?
He actually was excited. He's got a new girlfriend. This one actually lives in the country and isn't someone he met over Facebook.
Mm.
Don't know if I've told that story.
I think you've hinted at it. I don't think you've ever told the full story.
He had a girlfriend who lived in Mexico City for a while that he met only through Facebook.
Wow, Mexico City.
Yeah,
that's kind of exotic. So was she a native to Mexico City?
She was not. She was actually a UK. Was it Moby Dick? Catfishing going on.
Yeah.
No, she was from the UK. Dad was in the military. They moved to Mexico City. He left the family, and so it's just the mom and the daughter living in Mexico City.
Just dumped him in Mexico City.
And
damaged goods.
And I saw her. You know, I don't know how much if there was any catfishing going on, because I did see her via FaceTime a few times.
Yeah,
and seemed really nice. Mm-hmm. Until she and Tristan had kind of worked out some arrangement where she was going to come stay with us for a little while.
Oh, Lord.
And since the spare bedroom is right downstairs here, right by where Tristan hangs out on the computer all night, I thought, maybe that's not such a good idea.
Yeah. You woke 9 months later, a couple of Mexican jumping beans, and you're you're playing grandpa earlier than you thought.
Exactly. Exactly.
So now
he's got a girlfriend who lives in the States, and now he's going to get to see her, because even though she goes to a different school, he splits his day between his regular high school and then a technical college that's actually giving him college credit.
Oh, cool.
And he's taking like a computer graphics and digital photography course there that like they're going to teach him Illustrator and Photoshop.
That's great, dude.
Yeah.
Very cool. Nice little head start there.
That for anything. Yeah.
So she lives in Colorado then.
This one, the new one does. The new one lives like a mile away, but goes to a different school.
I like that she's like the new model. The new one lives here.
Yes,
the new one.
The new one lives here.
Great.
That's exact.
Does it give you any, I don't know. I'm feeling this way too, but I feel like I have a couple of factors working against me. I live in Utah, which means this, that culturally speaking, people tend to get married a little earlier here.
Sure.
I mean, even I did. I was 23. Kim was 19. Like, we were on it, right? No, I was 22. I turned 23. I just turned 23. That's what it was. So we were still pretty young. But people start young. I got a 19-year-old now, living in an apartment, going to school, working, a couple of homely roommates. And, all I can think about is it's any minute now she's going to meet that guy. And then they're going to get engaged. And then I'm going to be walking down some aisle with her arm in my arm going, how the hell did I get here? You think about that sometimes? You think about like how close this all is? I know he's only 16, but
no.
You got a ways off.
I've not even started thinking about this. I mean, keep in mind, didn't Taylor have some sort of serious thing going on with a guy
for
a while?
Mm-hmm.
And that's no longer going on, is that right?
That guy bailed. He didn't wasn't like a jerk about it. He basically backed off. His parents thought he was getting too serious. He still had some military time to serve, and they were like, "Oh no, we don't want any. You can't have anybody back home that now you're thinking about all the time." Rap, rap, and kind of talked him out of it. And I think he's kind of a wuss for doing that. And I actually told her, I said, "Look, if he was serious about you, then what his mom told him wouldn't have mattered."
Exactly.
So we need to get past him. But she really, really liked him. He was a cool guy. He was a nice guy, and he really treated her well. But he just you know, wimped out basically. So the problem with that is, well, yes, she's on the rebound a little bit with that, and I believe slightly skittish about starting anything new.
Sure.
Of any import. Serious. Yeah. Good. So that's good.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want the scabs to build up so that you look at each relationship with just that little bit of skepticism to keep you from going all in and getting your heart broken.
Exactly. That's what I hope is happening there. And if so, you know, ultimately I just want a nice guy, hardworking dude with goals and ideals and who will treat her right. And be a good father to whatever kids they have, and that's all I want. Sure. I want those basic things. And if and I've told her, I said those things you hear me talking about wanting for you, I promise you those are things you want for yourself. So you just have to just keep ticking away. There's no such thing. I am not a believer in that there's one perfect person for you. I happen to find one of the perfect people for me. Okay, I think Kim is one of very few people who could stand my garbage. That is just perfect for me in every way. But there's this thing when you're a girl going out in the world and she's like, I'm looking for my one true love.
Yes,
the one guy. Like, no, there's 7 billion of us. And you can skip over a huge swath of them that are all, you know, snorting coke and killing people.
Right. Yes, you can narrow those down.
Yeah, narrow that down. They're out. Okay, how about there's probably a whole bunch of those dudes that are gay. Okay, you don't have to worry about them because they're not going to be interested anyway. They'd be great friends, though. Hang out with them. They're great. Sure.
Yeah, the other ones you can fight in when your heart gets broken.
Absolutely. Go to their house. It'll be clean there. You know, like all this stuff. All these stereotypes, right? And then if you just keep moving there, you can keep knocking them down. But even then, you're still going to end up with probably
a half a million.
Yes. Options. Yes. Half a million viable options out there.
There's only, you know, the sad thing is there's just only half a million guys out there. That are All right. I can ask you a question.
Yeah.
A scenario here. Ready?
Yeah.
She brings home a new guy that she's interested in.
Yeah.
Very, you know, serious stuff. Turns out he's a big fan of Frog Pants and was before he met Taylor. Okay. Or actually, maybe even it was the impetus for meeting Taylor.
All right. Okay.
So huge fan of the show, listens to everything you do.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
That's a really good question. So this has happened before with boyfriends.
Right.
One of her boyfriends, now friends, was listening to The Instance for a long, long time before he ever met her. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't believe her when she said, oh, that's my dad. He couldn't believe it. Just couldn't wrap his head around it. Well, started coming around the house, hanging out. This is all during high school. And pretty quickly he realized, oh, this is just normal people. We're just hanging out and doing our thing and having dinner and whatever. And this is just normal. And if it did anything at all it did was lessen his star factor. Like he quit looking at it as, whoa.
We're this up on this pedestal kind of thing.
New media model of truth. Like he quit doing that and just saw me for the dude that I was. But my understanding is he still listens to the show. He's still into it and stuff. So it didn't bother me too much. But when you ask the question presented as potential soulmate marriage guy.
Right.
That's different. Like that's weird to me. Why is that weird to me? That would be hard for me, I think. I'd have to live with it.
Yeah, but I think it'd be difficult. Like you'd be like, "Oh man, what can I say? Can I talk about stuff on the show? Do I have to?"
Especially this show. Like if they are a TMS listener, oh geez, because this is where I vent a lot of stuff and say things. Like half of what I'm talking about and the haunting thing and all that. I mean, that comes back to me. I hear about that later.
Right.
But in the case of having the guy there, I mean, in a way, it's an advantage because he comes in with being even more nervous than he would around just a dad. You know what I mean? So in a way, I have the upper hand because he comes in both nervous that I'm her dad and he comes in nervous because I'm the host of these shows that he thinks are great. So in a way, I kind of have power over this douchebag who needs to be nice to my daughter, right? so I can leverage some of that. So I don't know. That's a hard call, but it is something I think about sometimes. I mean, I told you about the dream I had that one time that Carter and Tristan got married in my dream, and you and I were co-in-law parents.
Right. Yes.
That's a weird deal, dude.
The Starks and the Lannisters.
Yeah, exactly. And one of us is going to get her head lopped off. But no, like you. Oh, spoiler! Sorry. Well, it's multiple spoilers if you think about it. There's a couple of heads.
Right. Yes. Okay. Stop.
All right. I'll stop there. There's some wolves involved. That's all I know. But then I thought about that and I thought, well, the only part about that would be weird is it wouldn't be that weird. We get together. We're already friends. Everybody knows each other. It's fun. Yeah. Like, but that's that's none of that awkwardness.
It would change this dynamic.
Yeah. The show would be weird, wouldn't it? A little bit.
I don't think the show would change one iota.
But what if we got on the error on a Tuesday and you went, oh man, last night, Taylor and Carter and Tristan brought over their kid and he pooped all over the floor. Wow, that little rat hole. And, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing to think about.
That's true. Oh man, I don't know about Tristan's new wife, man. She's
she is the worst.
She's the worst. She's with her mouth open.
Yeah. Yep. She licked the cat's face. I don't know what's going on with that.
Staying with us for the weekend.
It's hell.
Leaves the bathroom in pieces. The log that she left in the toilet.
You have no idea how.
I don't know if you better not.
There's a story I could tell you about that.
I don't think you should finish that.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story sometime. I'll tell you a story. A story that should have ended with more fiber in your diet. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. She'd kill me if she knew I told that story, so I won't. All right. Kids are off to school. It feels good. I feel good about it. And I feel so good that I'm going to celebrate by calling Daryl Skeels.
Oh, that's a great way to celebrate.
Yeah. He's the Trek nerd. And what else can you ask for in this life or the next than to talk to Daryl? Let's get his thing up here. Here we go. It's Stump Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Looking for another podcast to listen to? Another Way Around, Life and Gaming Podcast Deluxe. Go to awaycast.com to listen in as the guys talk life, games, and everything in between. Right now, until the end of August, the Awaycast is giving away free Microsoft points and subscriptions to Xbox Live as part of their Summer of Arcade giveaway. Just follow, subscribe, and like to enter. That's www.awaycast.com.
Daryl Skeels, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm good. I'm scared of my birthday. I came up with this whole big, huge birthday thing at the end of yesterday, and now it's morning, so my brain is not working at the same speed at which this was written.
Yeah, well, by the way, happy birthday.
It was today? Oh, happy birthday, man.
Well, it was technically yesterday.
Oh.
It was Saturday, actually.
Saturday, over the weekend. In other words, not a day we had a show is what I meant to say.
Gotcha.
We had a show yesterday. I'm thinking today's Monday. We can't not do a Trek segment without at least mentioning it, and somehow yesterday we didn't mention it. So
We missed a couple birthdays yesterday that I'm sure we'll talk about today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. And you were at the beach all weekend or something? How was that? That looked nice.
It was the in-laws' house. We go there once in a while and play on the beach.
Oh, it's very nice. Are they right there on the beach?
Yep.
Wow. And
sometimes waves hit their house.
That's kind of fantastic.
Oh, wow. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, well, actually, that part doesn't sound good at all. Well, here's a little birthday for you now. Here you go. Whoops, hold on.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Drunk Miyagi birthday wishes all around.
Wow. Can't beat that.
No, you can't. Daryl's the Trek nerd, comes here daily when we talk about Star Trek trivia, although you're not going to be here on Thursday. Something going on, so we'll do another fan one on Thursday. But most of the time he's here and tries to answer hard trivia questions about Star Trek. We're going to start off today with an original series episode, TOS, as the fans refer to it. In the original series episode, The Paradise Syndrome, Kirk, Spock, and McCoy beam down to the Indian planet Feather Not Dot. They marvel at the trees and the lake. Dr. McCoy says he smells a certain kind of shrub. What shrub does he say he can smell? This is Dr. McCoy again. Is it A, hemlock, B, lavender, C, honeysuckle, or D, juniper? Hemlock, lavender, honeysuckle, or juniper? Now, we didn't talk about this before the show.
Oh, yeah, food.
What should we do? I don't even know. Hold on.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Well, it's a foodie.
Well, it's
really all depends on Daryl. What do you have with you there?
What do I have? I have scorpion pop, don't do that. I have log, the big log thing, and I have the three chocolate things.
Oh, let's do one of the chocolate things.
The three chocolate things?
Okay.
That's from, not Michelin Man. What's the movie with Sylvester Stallone where he has to have three...
Demolition Man.
Perfect. All right, so wait, which one is it? The chocolate ones?
Yeah, pick one of those.
I gotta find them. Hold on a second.
What's Michelin Man's superpower?
Michelin
Man. Always tired. Excelsior!
Always tired. That's pretty good.
Daryl, pick one of those flavors, and I'll go get that while Scott searches his boxes for him.
Yeah, pick whatever.
I like the gold plus pressed platinum one.
Oh, cool. The one that's got little gold. Ooh, it's got gold leaf in it or something.
I'm grabbing it.
Okay. So these were sent to us while Brian grabs it. Hey guys, here are a few great chocolate bars that recently started selling in the UK. If you can get these from the shop around the corner in the US, please don't tell me I may cry. I believe these are nowhere to be found here. This is all new to me.
Yeah.
With chocolate this good and British dental care, what could possibly go wrong? Loving the show. Cheers. Gem 5x5. All right, Gem 5x5. These really look fancy, like somebody handmade these.
Yeah.
Don't they?
So good looking.
Yeah, they really are. You are so good looking. What's that from? Seinfeld.
That's Seinfeld, yeah, the replacement for Bless You.
That's right.
If you really want to compliment somebody, compliment them after they sneeze.
What the damn? All right, so we got this gold one, Chock-a-Block Extreme Brulee, or Very Berry Eton Mess.
Let's do the Chock-a-Block Extreme Brulee first, and then tomorrow we'll do one of the other two.
Look at that Rocky Road thing. Oh, my gosh.
I know. That looks so good.
All right. This goes against my juicing nature now.
Sure it does.
Here we go, though.
My dog's super happy about this, though.
It looks a little toxic. I'm not sure you can really eat gold, can you?
Oh, sure. You can drink it in Goldschlager.
Can you? But that
I remember my friend Chris Brown getting sick and after a night of partying in Las Vegas. And
after he punched Rihanna in the face? Is that what happened?
Drinking a lot of Goldschlager and the toilet looked like a little snow globe.
Ew. That's gross.
Sorry.
I can't get it open. There we go.
There we go.
I got it. Okay. I am a little nervous about the gold. Can you eat that?
Yeah, of course you can eat that.
But what if it pools in your spleen? You got a little gold nugget in there, and they got to surgically take it out now. Is it really gold? It can't be gold.
I think it is. I think it's when you die, they take your fillings out, and they make this candy.
Wow, that is a dastardly theory.
There you go. If Scott wasn't afraid to eat this before. The bummer is, half it's chocolate, dark chocolate, and the other half is white chocolate. I want a square right in the middle. I don't want one of these end squares. It's just white chocolate.
Yeah, plus white chocolate isn't really chocolate. We learned that a while ago. All right, corner of this is all... I don't know. That's a funny color. I think I'm going to go the other end here. Okay. I'm going to get a little chocolate, a little white, all right? I'm going to be racially harmonious with my choice.
It's funny how much glitter ends up on your fingers as your...
Yeah, this really is gold. This is gold leaf.
Oh, yeah.
Only kids eat this by accident. I don't think this is something you're supposed to eat on purpose. All right, here goes.
It's really mild and yummy.
Yeah, it's, you know, British chocolate. The way to go. Okay, the dark is it's all right. I feel like I'm eating too much of the gold. Okay.
And the white part is kind of flowery. I mean, like flowers.
Yeah. Yeah, like grandma perfume.
Yeah.
Right?
But in a good way.
Well, right, as opposed to the regular way. When she hugs you, you don't want that. Yeah, that's all right. I don't know if I have a strong opinion about it. I think the Rocky Road is going to be more my speed
mm-hmm.
tomorrow because I love marshmallows, and there are many of them.
I really like this. I really like this.
Okay. Daryl likes mild, his, yeah, you're British at heart anyway, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. The
big
skills,
thanks to Gem 5x5 for sending this from the UK.
Yeah, I just read their... Oh, you didn't hear that because you were grabbing yours. I read that only.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Thing. Yeah. Gem 5x5.
That's right. Tesco is the name of the horrible, horrible name of this chocolate company.
Tesco.
Tesco.
That sounds like a fake conglomerate corporation that's evil in a sci-fi movie.
It totally does, yeah. Yes.
Here at Tesco, we will kill you. All right. Excellent news.
Where does it say that?
On the bottom.
I don't see that. I'm looking for that. Tesco?
It says the bottom. It says chock full of treats just for Tesco at the bottom.
Oh, Tesco's the grocery store chain.
Oh. All right. Who makes this?
I guess Chocoblock is the...
Allergy advice. Contains milk, wheat, gluten, and soya. May contain nuts. Store in a dry place.
May contain gold.
Yeah. May contain heavy metals.
And there it is. If you go to chocoblock.com, then you can see the
indulgent
chocolate blocks.
All right. We'll keep at it. Thank you so much for that. Much, much appreciated. Back to the question. Oh, no. Birthdays. So we missed some, and there's... Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Tell me where we're at with that.
Not only was yesterday Gene Roddenberry's birthday, but it was Jonathan Frakes' birthday, and it was Pulaski's birthday, Deanna Muldaur.
I didn't know that Frakes and Roddenberry shared the same birthday. That's crazy.
And Muldaur.
Yeah, and Muldaur, which sounds like an alien on Star Trek.
Muldaur from the planet Tesco.
It is Haribo. So how old is, remind me, Riker hit what ripe age? 60-something, right?
61, yeah, 61.
He looks great for 61.
And Pulaski's 75.
That's great. There you go. And they're both still kicking it, doing the old convention circuit.
Yeah.
Actually, it's kind of amazing how many Star Trek people really are still alive. I mean, you're really just missing McCoy and Scotty, right? Like everybody else, they're in from TOS forward. Who's missing? Mm-hmm. Nobody. Oh, Majel Barrett, I guess, is out.
Yeah.
But still, pretty strong showing by everyone.
Way better
involved.
Than Different Strokes.
Yeah. Different Strokes to rule the world. I haven't seen that show since the 80s. So there you have
really
it.
Haven't watched any of the the syndication or anything?
Nope. I don't think I've seen a single
Didn't watch the very special episode with Arthur Carlson?
No.
In the bicycle shop?
No. Where the molestation one? Is that what that was?
Yeah.
The bike shop owner. Because of course, bike shop owners should be notorious for this.
That's right.
That's why I got into making bikes for kids. I hate the 80s. You know, there's so much to love about the 80s, but TV shows like
very
sitcoms.
Special episodes.
Yeah, that stuff was the worst. Really, really the worst. That's why Seinfeld was so great. It never had a very special episode of anything. And that was to its credit. I don't think comedy should try to do that. In fact, I don't like it when Big Bang Theory does it. Like, they'll have like a, oh, this one's where Leonard and Penny are kind of getting back together again. What a sad little moment we're sharing.
No, it's still a comedy, yeah. though. I mean, they never had the, the Tom Hanks as the drunk uncle coming to stay with the Keatons.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no, you're right. It's not as bad, but it still bugs me a little bit. It's like when the dad comes to visit Penny, and then there's big conversations about, I just want what's best for you, honey. Yeah. That's the only reason I get all that. And they get all serious, and then the audience does at some point. You're like, okay, we are drifting really. You've already got Blossom on the cast. We're getting real close to actual Blossom
right.
here.
Right.
So everybody back off. All right, Daryl. Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Y'all need to see this documentary on Netflix. It just reminded me of this. Speaking of teen idols, right? It's called I Think We're Alone Now. And it's about these...
The Tiffany documentary?
It's about Tiffany, and it's about these two guys who've both been arrested multiple times for stalking her.
Oh, God.
And it's interviews with them. The one guy is this autistic guy in his 50s. Who at one point was waiting for her outside of one of her concerts with a sword and flowers, and then wrote a letter about how grateful he was that so many people were there that you were so worried about me that you had all those people take care of me, which translated to all those cops who arrested him. Well, anyway, it's a long story, but these people are obsessed. Walls covered and stuff. The other guy's like a Colorado dude. He's got both parts.
He's the intersexual in the description here.
Yes. Now when I was in the 80s, speaking of the 80s, we called a person like that a hermaphrodite. And I think that's a negative pejorative now, right? Nobody says that anymore.
I don't know. I thought that was a technical term. I thought that was a medical term.
I think it was, but it's kind of like the word retarded.
Some animals are in the animal kingdom are hermaphrodites.
Because technically retarded is a completely medical term. But nobody uses it anymore because it's been turned into a negative, right?
Yeah, maybe that's.
So I wonder if that's the case. I don't know.
But intersexual sounds like they're at the they're where Male Avenue and Female Street. the intersexual of Male Avenue and Female Street.
Exactly, Daryl. What were you going to say?
Oh, I thought retarded was the automotive term for your timing.
Right, your retarded timing in your car.
Yeah, advanced and retarded. Well, you know, turn the little thing.
Yeah, that was it. But when I mean, think about it. Like, it did. I remember it sounding technical when I was a kid. Somebody would say, "Oh, that child is retarded." But even saying it now, hearing myself say it in even that retroactive way, sounds mean.
Yeah,
it's so weird how words go. You know,
we made it into something that wasn't.
Yeah, we did. We did.
I think that was the first switch over for the politically correctness was moving to differently abled or physically handicapped. I mean, I think that was the first one I remembered before we started, talking about African Americans and Asian Americans and things like that.
Right.
I want to say that differently abled or. You know,
yeah.
Well, there was probably something back in the 30s when villains twirled their mustaches, and if their mustaches wouldn't twirl, I'm sure there was a term for that.
I don't want to know what that term was. I'm watching that baseball documentary.
He's got straight stash, yeah.
And it's funny because you hear like these guys talking about the Negro League, right? And how that was just the way you talked about it. Like that was, and it wasn't just white people calling it that. That was like the African Americans that were building the teams and having the league. They were calling it the Negro League. They named it the Negro League. But that sounds wrong now. Like society's funny. I'm not saying it should be right. I'm saying this is how it goes. This is what words are, right? Society takes them and goes, all right, retarded's no longer cool. So it's mostly due to you high school kids in 1987 for doing that. Thanks a lot for ruining that word.
Isn't the United Negro College Fund still a thing?
You know what it is, isn't it? Why doesn't that sound bad? That's funny. Because I'd never go, hey, you guys, this is Bill. He's my Negro friend. He's, JJ. When JJ calls a show, I don't go, hey, everybody, check it out. It's America. It's TMS's original Negro fan. It sounds terrible, right?
I don't think that word has quite the stigma of everything else that's...
Well, definitely not for the fund. It's doing just fine.
Right.
that word's alive and well. That's a really interesting. I find this stuff fascinating, and I like to cut through the outer shell of I'm so offended, and just actually talk about
people
the meat
are too
of it.
Afraid of words, and we should just kind of say, all right, what is it about the word? What is it? You know?
Yeah. Let's explore it.
Right. Exactly.
But I am going to start calling. I have a few. My black neighbor across the street. I'm going to refer to as my Negro neighbor.
What up, Negro?
Hey, Negro. What up? Doing good, cracker. You know, like, can we have that conversation? I want to have that.
You need to record that. Record it.
Okay. They're awesome. So I'm sure they would do it with me. All right, Daryl. Back to your question. Well, we really burned the oil on that.
We reviewed yesterday's birthdays, but we didn't do today.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Whose birthday today?
That is Eddie Paskey. He is 74 today, and he did a zillion things on TOS. He was a background character named Lieutenant Leslie, and he was in 57 of the first 62 episodes.
Oh, my.
He was William Shatner's stand-in.
Okay.
He was in more episodes than Sulu or Chekhov. And in The City on the Edge of Forever, he was driving the truck that hit Edith Keeler.
Oh, wow.
And in Patterns of Force, he was two different Nazis, and he was James Doohan's hand double, because James Doohan had that missing middle finger on his right hand. So
he did?
They needed that... Yeah, whenever they needed the right hand, it was this guy.
I didn't know he was missing a middle finger.
Yeah.
How would he throw the double bird at Shatner behind his back if he didn't have that middle finger? Damn. That's amazing.
He wouldn't.
What's this guy's name again? Tell me his name again.
Eddie Paskey.
It sounds like one of the Beaver's friends, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Hey, Beaver, what are you doing? I'm playing with Eddie Paskey. I don't like that kid. He's up to no good. He's trouble. See? All right, Daryl, back to your question. Let's get back into the meat and potatoes of this this little family dinner here. In the original episode, Paradise Syndrome, McCoy smells a shrub. Which one is it? Hemlock, lavender, honeysuckle, or juniper?
I'm going to say, let's see, it's not lavender because that's not a, is that a shrub? All I know is it smells good.
It does smell good, but I don't know.
I'm just going to go right to it. I'm going to say, with between hemlock and juniper, and since I would always get juniper and Jupiter mixed up, I'm going to go with hemlock because I would remember juniper.
All right, fair enough. Juniper's a funny word. Let's find out if it's hemlock. Is it hemlock, judges?
Nah.
Oh, it's not, is it? It's honeysuckle.
No.
He says he can smell honeysuckle. In this episode, Kirk pretty much becomes an Indian. Here are some clips of Indian Kirk. Here you go.
Right. You found paradise. Surely no man has ever attained such happiness. And I see faces, too, very dim. I feel I should know them. I feel my place is with them, not here.
Oh my God!
You know,
need you to really emote on this one, yeah. Shatner.
Stretch that way out, Bill. Billiam.
Wow.
Honeysuckle was the answer. Damn, nice job. No.
I thought you were going to play the.
I know I was going to. I totally forgot I was going to put that in there. Dang it. There you go. I got it. You know what? I'm just going to swap that in now. Let's put that in there permanently. Dad Scream is the new Daryl Got It Wrong. All right. All right. Good job, Daryl. He is the Trek Nerd. He is also, and that's on Twitter, by the way, at the Trek Nerd. You can also find him on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. All right, let's play a little game where you tell us a quiz and then we try to answer before you get out of here.
Okay, it's Star Trek Alien or Actual Mineral.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Nossian.
Star Trek.
Nossian. Yeah, I'm going to say Alien.
Yeah.
It is a crystal. It's
mineral. Oh, really?
Damn it. That's a good one, dude.
That is a good one. Thinking, it totally sounds like...
You're thinking Nausicaan.
Yeah, that's why. Because there were Nausicaans. Yeah. They were the guys going, Dom Jot, you play Dom Jot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that those guys?
Yeah.
With the really bad nostrils and beating up the Kirk and putting the knife in him. Or not Kirk, Picard. Yeah. Dom Jot, you play Dom Jot. Dom Jot. Dom Jod is brought to you by
the J.H. Crafter Etsy shop, Geek Girl and the Tadpoles Crochet and Quilting Shop. Come shop for homemade goodies in the infamous Scott and Coverville scarves. Love it. Just search for J.H. Crafter. TMS listeners get 30% off at checkout when using the coupon code MORNING. So come check it out today.
Wesley Warren Jr., the man
get off the ship, Wesley.
Wesley, your scrotum is too large. The man with the 132-pound scrotum. How'd you like to be known as that guy?
Wow. I don't think you need to worry about putting that on business cards. I think.
What would you call his superpower? The man with the, what would 132-pound scrotum man? What would his power be?
Oh my God.
Vulnerabilities. Just about everything.
Everything. Can't go anywhere.
I can't think of what his superpower would be.
A super weakness is what it is.
Right, exactly.
He's like you know what?
the ability to teabag just about everyone.
Thank you, E. Kardashinsky.
Teabag the pool.
Celsior.
Scrotor.
Scrotor, perfect. Perfect. He blames the healthcare system for this. Wesley Warren Jr., better known as the man with 132-pound scrotum, has two objectives right now. He wants to make money and speak the truth. In May 2008, in a household mishap, the Las Vegas man... I don't want to know his powers. Power to give Brian an illness that lasts for 2 weeks.
Right, exactly, yes.
The Las Vegas man took a blow to his right testicle. I woke up the next day and my scrotum was the size of a honeydew melon, he tells Mark Lamont Hill of HuffPost Live. My personal hell was just beginning. With every passing month, Warren's scrotum grew 3 pounds more, and with no health care insurance, he had little opportunity to seek help until he became internationally known for his freakishly huge bulge. It is now 132 pounds. He's also a giant man. He's like,
really?
Everyone forgets this. He, it's not like this guy's 180.
Little tiny skinny guy.
No,
he's got.
No, he's like 500 pound, 600 pound huge man. Also, I thought you could go to an ER and get help for stuff and not have your healthcare stuff. Can't you? I thought you could. I thought you. They're not going to refuse you.
Right.
Help.
Right.
So I don't know if I'd buy this.
Doesn't say how much this guy weighs, but yeah, he is.
He's a big fella.
He is large, but why wouldn't you just have it removed?
Why don't you just lance it with a stick?
Oh, with a spear.
Yeah.
With a sharp
X-Acto knife. Come on.
Sharp knife.
Do it at home. You've seen what they do with the goats on like Dirty Jobs.
Big.
Wrap it in a elastic band around the base and then it just kind of falls off or whatever.
Right. Just cut off that seems.
Many a goat has lived on.
There's a lot of stuff that we're not. I mean, you know, there's a household mishap is so vague.
Right.
What is the household mishap that made him wake up with a scrotum the size of a honeydew melon?
Yeah.
And why are they saying it's his scrotum? I mean, is it one or both of his testicles?
It's one. Just
his
right
one. It says a blow to his right testicle.
Oh, I assume his whole. Yeah, but his whole scrotum has taken.
Well,
grown as a result.
But it shouldn't be the man with 132 pounds scrotum. It should be the man with 132 pound testicle. Because the scrotum is really, you know, I mean, it's
right.
You're not, you know, when you come home with a honeydew melon that you bought at the grocery store, you don't say, "Honey, check out the size of this plastic bag they gave me at the grocery
it's
store.
Huge!
It's huge! It's so heavy! This grocery bag."
I mean, no, the word Walmart just is so big; it's all stretched around this giant.
Right,
no,
exactly.
I'm with you. You're right. I think, and people in the chat room are making it clear to me that if you go to the ER, they can't turn you away or refuse you, but you're gonna have to pay. Mm. I don't know. They constantly are having homeless guys come in there and other stuff. Are they making them pay? Like I don't know. I feel like he could have gotten some help. That's all I'm saying.
And if nothing else, I'm sure that could be sold for some decent amount of money. Like Smithsonian wants that thing.
Yep. Without a question. Put that thing.
That'll cover your medical expenses.
Put that thing under glass. That's what that should happen right now. Get a plaque up. Woman swallows tapeworm to lose weight. Here's the hot new trend.
Oh, jeez.
Tells doctor she bought it on the internet. An Iowa woman.
Iowa woman.
Determines the outcome of every election since 1885.
Eats a lot of corn.
Because that's all they got. Excelsior. An Iowa woman recently told her doctor that she bought a tapeworm on the internet and ingested it in an attempt to lose weight. The doctor, who apparently was so stumped by the patient's bad decision that he had to call the state health department for guidance.
Hello?
The agency told the doctor to have his patient dewormed by way of some special medical skills to kill this parasite. Dr. Patricia Quinlisk, medical doctor or director at the Iowa Department of Public Health, recounted the incident in an email to public health workers on Thursday. Ingesting tapeworms is extremely risky and can cause a wide range of undesirable effects, including rare deaths. This according to the Des Moines Register. Or the Des Moines Register. Those desiring to lose weight are advised to stick to proven weight loss methods, consuming fewer calories and increasing physical activity, not by putting a damn worm in your system. So this is actually, I did a little more reading. This is actually a thing. People do this.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm so leaving a bad review for that tapeworm I bought on Amazon.
One star. This is not nearly, this is at all what they promised me. It does seem like a pretty extreme way to get things going. I mean, I have friends who got tapeworms when they were in different parts of the world. I had a friend who spent a couple of years in New Mexico or in Mexico City and got a tapeworm from a street taco or something. Mm-hmm. And it was miserable. He spent like 2 years, lost way too much weight, like not good weight loss, like thin, gaunt weight loss, and had diarrhea constantly. Like just, it was terrible. And it took him years to get rid of that thing.
Now, there's the other worm that you get from... from, you know, it can live in different kinds of food and it's not as harmful, but you put some warm milk in front of your mouth and a pencil and they come out that way. Have you heard of this?
No.
What the heck? It's not a tapeworm. What is it? It's
warm milk and a pencil.
Ringworm. That's it.
Oh, a ringworm. You can do that with warm milk and a pencil?
Right. So the warm milk, they smell the warm milk and they come up your esophagus. And then you take the pencil and you wrap them around and just kind of spool them on the pencil to pull them out.
That's horrifying.
I thought this was like a total urban legend, but
apparently it's true.
It's a true thing.
Is there like a Snopes entry on it, I wonder?
I don't know.
By the way, could smart internet people call Snopes and say, hey guys, we'll redesign your site so it doesn't look like it was made in 1992?
Right.
It's horrible. It's horrifying. Okay, ringworm. Let's just look it up. Yeah. Snopes facts, honey and cinnamon. Okay, what? Oh. Bladder infections, what? Article extols the medication virtues of honey and cinnamon examples. Oh, it's a mix of true and not true. All right, never mind. That's got nothing to do with ringworms. Moving on to our good friends over here at tweakedaudio.com who would like you to save some money. 33% off your next pair of audio earbuds at tweakedaudio.com. How easy is that? Just go there, tweakedaudio.com. Get yourself a pair of awesome new earbuds today. You want them to sound good and you want them to have a lifetime warranty? Well, then they've got you covered. That's tweakedaudio.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
Turning your favorite nerdy pleasures into cartoon characters. Visit my eShop on Etsy and check out my collection of Doctor Who prints. Working on new and exciting stuff for you all to enjoy. Etsy.com/shop/Josh Atomic.
Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Still with us. Trip over the Ottoman. Hey, that was the Ottoman trip sound.
That was exactly.
Dick Van Dyke, who's still with us and kicking, and looks great for his age, by the way.
Actually does, yeah.
Really does. Pulled out of a flaming vehicle. 87-year-old actor Dick Van Dyke narrowly averted disaster moments ago on the L.A. freeway. This is yesterday. When his Jaguar burst into flames.
I love the fact that Dick Van Dyke drives a Jag.
I do, too.
There's something really funny about that.
I agree. He's still driving. That's cool. Mm-hmm. His Jag, which, by the way, are known to be kind of problematic and very expensive to fix, and I will never buy one because of that, because I have friends who were just, like, nearly bankrupt by their Jags. Anyway, his Jaguar burst into flames, but thankfully he was pulled to safety just in the nick of time. The hero who rescued him is a guy named Jason Pennington. He was driving along the 101 when he saw a car full of smoke at the side of the road.
Jason Pennington Esquire.
That name should be British if it's not already. An elderly man hunched over the wheel is what he saw. So he pulled over and pulled him out of there. Pennington tells us he pulled up and ran over to discover it was Dick Van Dyke struggling inside. Inside every burning car, your own free Dick Van Dyke. Hunched over the wheel. Good deal. That's a heroic move, and that means does he still do that show where he's a doctor and a detective all in one? What was that called? It was kind of his Matlock, but it was not.
Oh, Matlock. It wasn't Matlock. That's right. Matlock was Andy Griffith.
Come on, chat room. It was Dick Van Dyke in Doctor Man Extraordinaire Man. Oh, Diagnosis Murder. That's
right.
It. Oh,
exactly.
My gosh, it was made for old people, that show. Breaking Bad fans call 911 after their cable went out. This is great. As any Breaking Bad fan knows, it's a crime to miss even a single episode of the AM series. So much so that when your cable goes out, some of them actually call the authorities. During Sunday night's episode, the cable vision outage in Connecticut caused several fans pick up their phones, call 911, and report the problem to the police. The police says this. They say this. We received numerous 911 calls regarding the Cablevision outage. This is neither an emergency or a police-related concern. Please direct your inquiries to Cablevision. 911 should be called for life-threatening emergencies only, all in caps. Misuse of the 911 system may result in your arrest, unquote.
We are not your bitch.
Man, I watched that episode last night, so I'm caught up. Oh, good Lord. Did they have to cliffhang me like that at the end? I mean, did they really have to do that to me?
Yeah.
You're about to let gay Paul. You're about to let Aaron Paul. Finally letting him have some airtime and speak.
Jesse Pinkman. I know. It seemed like it was going to be a whole episode without him, honestly.
Yeah. And then, boom, you pull that and you stop your episode. Man, that show is so freaking good.
Such great interaction between, I'm not going to say who, because there are people who haven't seen it yet, but between two characters in a diner in that episode.
Yeah, that's... That was intense. Yes. And by the way, and I'm so unpredictable. They're doing all the anti things other shows would do, and it works. It's proof that you don't have to take the safe
track. Yeah, so different from what you know. Mm-hmm. You, the safe route that you think that okay, so I can figure out what's going to happen here. No, it's totally different. Right. It's not what you'd expect.
Yeah, and there's a thing that ends in the last cliffhanger from the last first set of eight episodes that. You could have drug out the entire last part here.
Right.
Nope.
Right. Yeah.
Nope. They head on. They smack it in the face the second it begins.
Oh, my God. Yeah, totally.
It's like, and that is so not what you would normally get. I love that they keep doing that.
Yes.
I love it. And it's so there. It's special. This is a special time in TV. And even if you find the show hard to watch or violent or whatever you do, you cannot be not impressed by just the work on display. It's just it's insane.
Totally.
Also, it's good to see Bill Burr in there again. He's one of those henchmen guys. Him and the big fat guy. He's great. I love Bill Burr.
And Jesse Plemons, too.
Yeah, Jesse Plemons. Speaking of Friday Night Lights. Freaking me out, as always, on there. Such a weird character. Anyway. Totally. Let's see. Moving on to one last story here. Elmore Leonard, author of many books and therefore screenplays / TV adaptations.
Get Shorty and Justified and
others.
310 to Yuma.
Yeah.
One of your favorites.
I love that movie. And the new movie is so good. Elmore Leonard, legendary Hollywood writer and writer just generally, died at the age of 87. So good trails to a guy who basically wrote a Western for everything he ever told.
So, right, even if it didn't take place in the Old West, Justified as a Western.
It is, It's the language of it that I love. Mm-hmm. It's the way they talk to each other, and it's true of Get Shorty even. There's a certain kind of interchange between people that only he knew how to write, and he'll be missed. 87, ripe old age. So is that the same age as Dick Van Dyke? Hold on. Yeah, he was 87 too.
Wow.
They were school chums.
It's a bad weekend to be 87.
That was back when you could say retarded and Negro at a pretty frequent rate. All right. I gotta quit saying Negro out loud. I'm going to get in trouble.
Oh, look at this. So just in, Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak calls Ashton Kutcher disingenuous and wrong in a war of words over Jobs biopic.
Wow.
Or biopic.
Biopic. I like biopic a little bit.
I can too, yeah.
I think it works either way. I think it's just a choice thing.
But interesting. It's funny. I actually buzzed in really early on a question at the trivia thing. They were going to go into, co-founder of Apple, blah, blah, blah. But the first two words were Segway croquet or Segway polo.
Uh-huh. I knew
and I buzzed in on Segway polo and said, Steve Wozniak.
And you got it?
And I got it.
Nice work.
10 points.
Nice work. So the guy, there's Oscar talk for the guy who played Wozniak in that movie.
Really?
Yeah, which is weird because the movie itself is tanking with reviewers, but everyone thinks that guy that played him was great. So maybe we'll see something with that. That's it.
Why would he be blasting Ashton Kutcher? Didn't write it.
No, he didn't.
He's given a script and he's playing a part.
Maybe they're fighting over other stuff. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Sorry.
Ashton Kutcher's. Somebody's getting punked. Let's put it that way. Right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we have kind of a mix today of differences. I believe, and I wasn't able to confirm this last night, although let's just check my text, make sure nothing's changed. Hold on here, because we had some switch arounds. Jury's not here today.
Right.
Let's see. Oh, Corinne's listening. Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, she's corrected us on a couple things already.
Oh, and looks like we are in. So awesome. So we're doing Nicole today.
Oh, okay, cool.
And we're doing But we're still doing Bill. So we're doing Bill after the break, then Nicole. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow we'll have Tom, then Jury. So,
Okay. It'll almost be an FSL tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird because Jury's on a plane right now. So that's why he can't be here. And Nicole has a doctor thing with the baby tomorrow. So she can't be here. So it's perfect. They just swap mm-hmm. places today. So we'll be back with all of that in a second. Before all that, though, a song and a request. What do you got?
Yes, this one's going out to Dustin. Hey, Salami and Bologna. Or baloney. My name is Dustin, and I would love if you guys could play a song for my 34th birthday. I'm thinking something from the realm of Star Trek, since I share this illustrious day of birth with the likes of Jonathan Frakes and, of course, the great Gene Roddenberry. Mm-hmm. He suggests a song from Smooth Federation. Thanks, guys, and as always, love the show, though. Dustin Raimondo. Well, I decided not to do something from Smooth Federation. Hey, we play a song from Smooth Federation every episode.
Yeah. Well, same song.
Mm-hmm. Same song. So I decided let's play for the audience something that I discovered yesterday and gave to you to just blow your mind. Let's let everybody in on this fun. This comes from an album called Basic Bob, which was a whole album released by Robert Picardo, who is the Doctor from Voyager and also he's the Johnny Cab driver in Total Recall, and you've seen him in a million things.
Okay.
On there, he includes this cover of the Shirelles' Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Not a complete and total straight cover, but a little bit of a parody in there as well. Great, great lyrics. Hilarious lyrics. Mm. So Robert Picardo and his cover of the Shirelles' Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?
Sounds good. What was that film sack movie we watched where he was a doctor in it, just briefly? What was that?
What was that?
I liked him in it. It was the only thing in the movie I really liked much.
No, right, because they had the future bubbly liquid with that was the computer.
What was that? My brain is fried. What was the movie?
Yes.
Not First Contact. Totally,
no.
No, he was his guest spot in that was fantastic, though.
Yeah. No,
damn it.
It was just something we just saw in Film Sack.
I don't remember. Whatever it was. Something good. Small Soldiers? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he was the guy. No, he was the chip maker guy in Small Soldiers, yeah.
Oh, right. Yes, he sneezed in his, right. Yes. I was thinking of the rollerball. I was thinking of the computer, the guy who ran the computer with all the bubbly water in it.
Oh, but you're right.
Yes, it was Small Soldiers.
Yeah, that was old Fart Man in that.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Thank you, Ice Worm.
Thanks, dude. All right, here it is.
And another J. Martin.
And more people even then. All right, so Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? It's Robert Picardo. Picardo. And we'll see you guys in a minute.
And here's an updated version of an old favorite. Tonight you're mine completely. You laugh and cheer so sweetly. But Voyager has aired its final show. Will you still love me tomorrow? Though I'm successful fan-wise, you started watching Enterprise. When you're addicted to the newest show, will you still love me tomorrow? With praise that could not be lusher, you say that I'm your favorite doc. You love my wit. Did Bones, Bashir, and Crusher in their day hear you say the same crock of Trek fans are just like Dracula. They crave fresh blood like Bacula. As your affection for him starts to grow, your hearts won't keep me tomorrow. He'll quantum leap me tomorrow. and you'll junk heap me tomorrow.
Boy, working in a Fruity Pebbles factory is beautiful, fruity pull. This morning, I had this desire for something fruity. I came to work, and I'm surrounded by Fruity Pebbles. Beautiful, fruityful, Fruity Pebbles. Yabba-dabba fruity-do. On my work break, I have a good breakfast featuring Post Fruity Pebbles cereal.
Fred, I got this desire for something fruity.
Have Fruity Pebbles, Barney.
Oh, Fred, Fruity Pebbles are beautiful, fruitiful.
Yabba-dabba fruity-do.
Has a different flavor.
The Morning Stream. It's what's in the yogurt.
We're back. Picardo, man. Woo.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, that's great.
I like the fact that, you know, as soon as he says Dracula, ends a couplet with Dracula, you know exactly where he's going with it.
Yeah, because what other word rhymes with it?
Right, exactly.
Bacula? Blackula?
Yeah, no.
There's nothing else.
No, and you can't count Ejacula. No, it does not. That one does not work.
He is the worst vampire ever to come out of Pennsylvania. All right. Let's imagine a future where we call Bill Duran. Let's see here. Do I have his little? I gotta have his little weird thing. Okay, his weird thing is here. Let's call him. Let's call Bill Duran.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Do
okay,
it. Jeez,
forcing
quit,
it down your
quit
throat.
Quit teasing me and do it.
Just jamming it down your gullet. Here you go. Hey, that can only mean one thing. It's Bill Duran, fitness geek extraordinaire, Tuesday's own Bill Duran. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. That doesn't get old.
Never gets old. So it's good to have you back, man. How you doing? What's been going on in your life?
So just, you know, working out, not sleeping much, and building a whole bunch of stuff for Dragon Con. That's kind of the story of my life.
Yeah, this is how I picture you. It's like a between con kind of problem where you are mad dash, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think you got time. It's like, all right, phew, I got through Nerdtacular and all I had to do was the chest thing and the arm. So now I got to have, oh, shoot, I'm running late. All right, I'll do a leg too. Okay, now I've got Dragon Con coming, and I've got a whole giant suit of whatever. Do you feel like you're going to have to make any concessions here, or are you going to be able to go for it?
No, this is getting done.
Yeah, it's happening with
come hell or high water, this is happening.
That's great.
But I also have, the other thing, though, is I have commissions for other people for Dragon Con, and those need to get done, too.
Ooh, so. Yeah, maybe even more so, right? Because them's people paying you. So so that's all very exciting. And as you work toward that, do you find that your busy schedule and your production schedule for making these things is interfering with your fitness goals?
No, it has not. I've been able to stay on top of it. Now, mostly because I do my cardio right after I wake up. So that is priority numero uno, and that gets done no matter what.
All right.
And then everything else after that is secondary. So that's why I've been able to keep on it.
So last week you're talking about, you had a whole bunch of new plans and goals and stuff. You want to give us an update on how that's all going?
Yes, I do. And I've been keeping real good track on the Lose It app. My food every day, so I know what's going on. I am down to 171.2 pounds. That is 2.2 pounds down from last week.
Oh, my. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, feeling good too. Mm. It's funny because I pay attention so much to, I really pay attention to my body. It's really what it is.
Mm.
And I can start to tell my upper rib area, I can start to see a little definition. Like, hey, there's ribs under there. Yeah. And so I can tell.
Ribs.
Yeah.
Wow.
More than just the metrics of my weight, I have other indicators that I am being successful, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, no, that's great. So are you, I mean, ultimately, obviously the goal is as much fitness as you can muster, but at what point do you just look at yourself in the mirror and go, yeah, I've done what I've come here to do. I just need to maintain now. Or do you ever do that?
I will let you know when I get there.
All right.
I have no idea.
Right. It's always one of those things, right? Everybody wants to have these goals for how fit you want to be, but what does that even mean? Like, where's the wall? Who knows where that wall is?
Sometimes it's that goal ends up being just kind of arbitrary. Long, and again, like I've always said, so long as you are healthy and happy, then that's really all you can ask for.
I can agree with that. So what great advice do you have this week?
Well, as I take a sip of my coffee, last week we talked, you had a question about coffee, and you know what? I delivered.
Great.
You were curious how much coffee was enough or maybe possibly too much coffee to drink.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I delivered and then end with an alien baby. And so I'm a little disappointed that that's not where that went, but I'll be happy to talk about coffee. Go ahead. Continue.
That's how I lost 2 pounds. Right. Chest burster. nice. No, actually, the our buddies over at tested.com posted a link to an article about how many cups of coffee is too much coffee to drink every day. I was like, wow, that's exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Will and Norm. You guys are great.
They are great.
It turns out that, let's see here, the Mayo Clinic proceedings reported that a 17-year study of 40,000 people say if you are 55 years old or younger, the upper limit is around 4 cups a day, meaning, and they say they keep saying cups. I assume they mean 8 ounce cups.
Yeah,
which is not. I drink 4 cups a day, and it's more than 8 ounces. So
this is, I think, a 12-ounce mug I'm drinking out of right now.
Yeah,
a Scooter's mug.
Yeah.
It says if you do drink more than that, it does tend to increase your overall risk, basically to everything. One of the concerns they had with the study, though, was that in heavy coffee drinkers, there is a higher likelihood that you are also a smoker, and that could also impact. It's hard to isolate the causes.
That's interesting. How do they figure that? That's just statistically true? That people who drink coffee tend to also smoke? Or
I think that it was just there's a higher incidence of smokers in the general populace of coffee drinkers.
That's interesting.
Or I should say people who drink lots of coffee.
Okay.
It seems like it tends to go hand in hand.
All right. Interesting. Is that but also, the chat room? Just a quick straw poll. How many of you out there fall into that category? Just curious. Just post away. Anyway, go ahead, Bill.
Also, if you drink 75 cups of coffee in one day, it will, in fact, kill you.
Yeah. Well, so that's the upper limit.
The
All
most
right,
upper
good.
Limit. Yeah. 75 in one day, the caffeine will kill you.
Yeah. Well, it depends on your tolerance, right? Like, I was reading that Corey Haim, near the end, was doing 87 Xanax a day, which would kill all three of us if we took 10.
If we shared them,
If we took 10 altogether, we would be in intensive. We'd probably be in a coma. But you get to the point where you can handle more, I suppose. And if you're reaching that limit and you're drinking that much coffee, probably not a healthy
scale back.
Space
right,
to be. Yeah.
Right. You may have other concerns in your lifestyle that are contributing to your coffee consumption.
Right.
The other thing they say, too, though, is just trust your own body's reaction to caffeine. Because some people, caffeine really sets them off, and other people can take it better. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen to your body.
I'm always smoking. We should have a conversation about smoking in one of these episodes. Just to talk about smoking today, like what it is today, what inspires people to pick it up today.
Right.
Is it purely out of rebellion? And when you're in your teens, it must be because it's no longer a commercial of some sexy couple going, oh, this is the greatest idea I've ever had is the smoke. And doctors saying 4 out of 5 preferred Chesterfield, you know, like that doesn't happen anymore. So it's all negative advertising. It's all truth advertising.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's got to be like kids just going, screw life and then just smoking.
I'm usually pretty judicious with the comments I make online, but I will come out and say that if you smoke, you are dumb. That is a stupid thing to do.
Well, it does. I mean, it does pretty much support what you're saying.
Yeah.
And so, I'm of the belief, well, I've never smoked, so I can't really speak to its values or its qualities, but I can tell you from as a secondhand smoker when it comes to Vegas or something, that I don't enjoy that very much. And then knowing all that we know about its health problems, the only people I know now are people that picked it up in their teens because they were pissed, and now they can't quit because it's a habit.
Right.
Nobody's going, I'm going to do the glamorous thing and pick up a pack of Virginia Slims. Nobody does that.
No.
Now.
I was at a gas station the other day putting gas in my car, and there's a guy there doing the thing where you like smack the cigarettes against your hand to, I don't know, improve them. I don't get it. and then I'm like, I'm pumping gas, and this, I'm like, dude, you're gonna light up right there, right next to my gas thing.
Seems
dangerous.
He did not. Yeah.
He wandered off, which was nice, or else we would have had a problem.
I'm pretty sure there was a MythBusters episode where they showed that that wasn't going to happen very easily, or that it was really unlikely that a cigarette getting tossed around in open gas tanks would cause, like, it couldn't cause the flame. So, of course, then they made it worse by adding a bunch of stuff and then blowing it up. But I think that, I might be thinking of the toilet one they did, where if you farted hard enough in the can and then dropped a lit cigarette between your legs, you could blow yourself off the toilet, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That might be what I'm thinking of.
Nice.
Which they disproved, by the way. You can't
do that. Yeah. So this guy, I did not immediately think, man, that guy is so cool. Mm-hmm. I thought, what an idiot. He paid for that.
Yeah.
He paid money to do that. Hey, last week you guys talked about Super Size Me.
Yeah.
I have a little bit more of I'd like to chime in on that.
Okay. Is that how it's pronounced? Super Size Me?
That's how it's, yeah, exactly. That's
okay.
That's
damn you, Murdoch.
Luck says it. That's how we're going to
okay,
say it.
Okay, fine.
I watched the French language version.
Oh. Is that what it was? Awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
So here's the thing about Super Size Me. When people talk about documentaries and they compare things like stuff that Michael Moore does versus stuff that Ken Burns does, the term documentary gets batted about a little bit, with a little loose on the definition there.
Sure.
Super Size Me, he went into that really kind of wanting to demonize fast food chains, specifically McDonald's. Now, he never released his food logs, so we don't even know how much he ate of what he ate.
By the way, I release my food logs at about 8:30 every morning.
Yeah, thank you, coffee. Again,
sure. Yes. Release the food log. Sorry, go ahead.
Jeez. Oh,
so we don't know what he ate and how much he ate.
Right.
So it kind of really puts a damper on the whole thing if we don't know what he ate. Now, this other dude, his name is Chris Colson. He lost something like 80 pounds only eating at McDonald's. So you would think that would be antithetical. You would think like, oh, but if I go to McDonald's, I can't help but eat a Big Mac and large fries and a soda and eat that every day and eat, 4,000 calories a day. But this other dude did exactly the opposite. Mm. And he did it by he ate 1,400 calories a day. He avoided the fries. He mostly ate salads. He also invented what he called a steak salad by having them put a hamburger patty on his salad.
Right.
And then, he ate 8 wraps, that sort of thing. So the dude, lost a ton of weight only eating at McDonald's. So it's not as – it is zero to do with the way they prepare their food. Like, there's no special sauce in there that makes you just gotta eat it.
How come people don't take him more to task for this, I wonder, though? Or do they? Do people
– here's why. People want to blame the fact that they – gained weight or whatever it is on someone else. They want to say that it absolves them of responsibility. They want his thing to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, I know, is when you stop taking responsibility for your own health and your own fitness, that leads you down a path of, living a really unhealthy lifestyle. When you start to take responsibility for it, not only do you have to take yourself to task for having put on weight, but also you get to take all the credit when you lose it, which is very empowering.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. You know what? Let's just apply that to everything. Take responsibility for everything you're doing.
Yeah. If you're eating all the shit and all the blame.
Yeah. If you're eating a bunch of crap, it's no one's fault. If I eat a bag of Doritos, if I eat a sleeve of Oreos, I can't blame Mary for that. No. She sent them. Right. I was only supposed to test one and toss the rest. Or exactly. Give them to the kids or something. But no, I went ahead and ate 5 more yesterday. Not the triple deckers, by the way. I learned something about those triple deckers. I didn't learn something. Something became obvious to me, which is they're basically 2 Oreos in one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're an Oreo and 2/3.
All you're missing is one of the cookie layers.
Exactly, yeah.
But you got plenty of the two. You got 2 goo layers and 3 cookie layers, and they're terrible, and don't do that. So I ate more of the lemon ones thinking I was somehow saving myself. Like, oh, yeah, I can justify these because that's only 1 Oreo. But then I ate like 5 or 6 of them. And this is after I tested them. And now I have all this like guilt about eating those things, even though I'm still losing weight and I'm, doing other stuff. But I ran a little extra hard last night to help justify it. But in the end, it's all me, dude. I can't blame it on Nabisco. Right. I can't blame it on Mary. I can't even blame it on Brian, like I try to do with most things that's wrong.
Thanks.
So, yeah.
Obama.
Yeah,
Obama.
Damn it, Obama. I mean, that whole meme is funny because that epitomizes the whole...
Exactly.
The whole thing, right? And I could tell you some stories. Anyway, bottom line is, take responsibility for yourself, your eating, your habits, your exercise, your damn life. All right?
Okay. Damn it!
Okay, great. Yes. All right, Bill, how can people follow your progress on your stuff you're doing for Dragon Con and other projects?
What I would very much like for people to do is go over to youtube.com/punishprops and give me a subscription. I've been doing lots of cosplay videos talking about the community a whole lot. I just hit 5,000 subscribers, and I promised everyone that I would shoot a costume dance video, and that's happening soon.
Whoa.
So if you don't want to miss that, and you don't want to miss that, go over to youtube.com/punishprops and subscribe. I'll be hopefully posting that before Dragon Con, maybe? Wow. I don't know.
That's great, though, dude. Nice job.
Yeah.
Well, it's excellent news all around, everybody. Bill Duran, Chinbeard on Twitter. Follow him there as well. Bill, let's do this again next week.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. I guess he'll only be here... Like, next week is Dragon Con, right? Wait.
No, 2 weeks.
Sorry, 2 weeks. Plenty of time for you to recover. Plenty of time for him to make a prosthetic rubber.
I take that back. It's a week. I leave a week from Thursday.
Oh, yeah, so it is next week, isn't it?
Week and a half, yeah.
Weird. You ready for that?
Weird.
You ready for
I have to be, don't I?
Yeah, you do. You paid. You got to go. okay. Let's.
I don't know if I'm ready.
Let's be weird. My God. Let's be weird and call Nicole now.
What, on a Tuesday?
I know this is.
What's she gonna sound like?
I don't even know, dude. Let's see. She's had a bad cold too, so.
She.
Hopefully
I
not.
I swear we weren't in Vegas together.
No. It's not the same disease.
I swear it.
Different kind of disease. Let's see here. I got to find her little song though. Here we go. I found it. It's right here. Check it out, everybody. Wait. What? Hold on. Why isn't that playing? Oh, come on. There it is. Wait, there it is. I found it. Hey, everybody, check it out. It's Nicole Spag. She's here, as always, although on a different day this week, to talk about recommendals. Real quick, not here tomorrow because Mateo's got to go in for some stuff. How's he doing? Is he all right?
He has another ear infection. We're on number 4, so we're doing the tubes.
Is that a normal... what's that surgery like now? I know back in the day it was a lot more involved. It
takes about 10 minutes, and it's bing-a-bang-a-boom.
Yeah, in and out.
What I understand, yeah. It's outpatient.
It should be... Yeah, this is what I was hearing. It's a lot easier than it used to be. It's kind of like my cataract thing. 30 years ago, it would have been... 7 days in a hospital, not moving with my head between sandbags, and now it's 8 minutes and I go home.
I just, I'm looking forward to him to be able to hear me.
Yeah.
So when I say Mateo, he'll go, what?
Yeah. It actually can have that effect, right? It slows their, like their speech progress, like all that stuff gets affected by those stupid things. Well, that's good. And once he has this done, easy sneezy. Everybody I know who's gotten tubes, perfect for life. All's good.
Right.
Well, good luck with all that, and glad to have you here today, even though it is a day early.
Too.
It's a nice way to have the Tuesday, and Jury's taking your spot tomorrow, so it all worked out.
Yeah.
What do you got on tap this week? What's good to watch? What's up?
Well, I had someone on Twitter ask me for some recommendations on some dark comedies, and this was about 3 weeks ago. So I've had these waiting for him, and I can't remember his name. I'm sorry, but I do know he's from Rolla, Missouri.
Mm. You remembered it like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So I went through, and I am a fan of dark comedies as well, and there are a number of films streaming on Netflix, maybe Amazon Prime. I didn't check if they were on Amazon Prime. Sometimes they are. Mm. But the first one I have for you is a 2002 film called Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Oh, yeah.
That's such a
great
movie.
Great movie.
Yes. So Chuck Barris, we all know him. I know him and remember him as the host of The Gong Show. Yep. But he also created The Dating Game. What are some of the other ones? Just think of all the cheesy game shows back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Chuck Barris
was all over the place with that stuff, and it was great because I think the first time I ever saw Steve Martin was on The Gong Show, I know that like Jamie Farr was a host on there all the time, or one of the judges all the time.
Yeah, judges. Yeah.
And I remember thinking,
Letterman was on there.
Yeah,
for,
that's right. Like if they would pull from all these different sources. It was a weird freaking show, though. But yeah,
that's where Oingo Boingo first appeared.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut up, the Mystic
Knights. Back when they were the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo, and Danny Elfman ran around the stage with a rocket on his body, and whenever he pulled a chain, a big blast of smoke would come out of the butt of the rocket.
Oh, you're kidding me. Hold on. I found a video. Let's see what this even looks like here real quick. Here, come on, start up. What's taking so long? Hold on. Chuck Barris. All right, let's check Barris.
The celebrities will rate them.
Okay, Buddy Hackett. Bill Bixby is one of them.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
For the unusable All right. sum of 560.
All right, let's keep moving here. Okay, I just want to see Boingo Boingo guys. Oh, yeah, dude. What the heck? That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well.
So Chuck.
Oh yeah. Tell us about the movie. Sorry.
Interesting man. Very weird man. And he wrote a book. He wrote the book, the unauthorized biography of his life, which was confessing that he was indeed a CIA assassin.
Right.
And to this day, I mean, I don't know.
It's not a complete and total doubt, right?
There's a shadow of a doubt. Just a little hint of he is that insane. He probably was a CIA assassin. So George Clooney directed this film. He picked up the book. He worked with Chuck Barris. Chuck Barris is still alive. Sam Rockwell plays Chuck Barris. Amazing. Drew Barrymore, Julia Roberts, Maggie Gyllenhaal. It's really a great film. And I think it's one of those films that maybe not a lot of people got a chance to see when it first came out.
I would like to see it again, and I didn't know it was streaming. So
you're
providing a valuable community service here on the show. Great.
It's so weird.
Give us number two. It is weird, but and anything what's his name's in. I always forget his name. He just said his name.
Rockwell.
Rockwell. Yes. Anything Sam Rockwell's in is always awesome to me.
Fantastic. Yep. Yes.
Just amazing in every damn thing he's ever in. All right. Number two, what do you got?
All right, so the next film is a 2010 film, and it's kind of ironic that you guys were talking about sexual intersections earlier. It is a film called Spork.
Spork.
Yes.
Spoon and fork. Okay,
yes.
Got it.
So
it's a good metaphor, actually.
Yeah, yes. So the main character, she identifies more as a girl, but she is a hermaphrodite, and she's made fun of him. Of course, her mean nickname is Spork. Because, but it reminded me of Napoleon Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give too much away. But she's in high school and she's trying to navigate. Her mother had died and she has a friend who's into hip hop. And so there's a big dance contest. So it's very reminiscent. You're going to think Napoleon Dynamite. I almost want to say I liked it more than Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, wow.
I like that there's a character named Betsy Biatch.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yes, those are the girls that make her life hell.
The IMDb description says a colorful and foul-mouthed feature musical comedy. Is there music in it? Or am I on the wrong one? What year was this?
2010.
Yeah, I'm looking.
There's music, but it's because of the dance contest.
Oh,
so they're not singing or anything
like
that.
Okay, so it's not like a musical.
Her favorite film is The Wiz, which by the way is streaming on Netflix. I watched it yesterday. Oh my gosh.
Down the road.
I haven't seen The Wiz in so long.
Oh, it's you got to fast forward through the first part cuz I was like, what is all this? I need to get down to the
singing and the dancing.
I need Michael Jackson. That's what I need.
Need some jive. Oh, I forgot he was in that.
Yeah, he's a scarecrow.
Oh, that's true. He's totally in that. Yeah. You know what? Can we have more? Like this is that reminds me of like a jive version of like Jesus Christ Superstar. It's like that same idea of like let's take a traditional story and let's just make it wacky and weird. What would we do today to something like that? I don't know what that is today.
Well, they do that. Kind of with the scary movie and
all those parody things.
Yeah,
that's true. But that's more like Airplane kind of or something.
It. No, they
or the Shakespeare adaptations, right? The
oh, that's a good. Yep, there you go. Mm-hmm. Your Baz Luhrmann slash Joss Whedon kind of treatment on, like, here's modern setting, but everyone's talking like Shakespeare.
Oh yeah, that's one I want to see too. That new Joss Whedon one.
The, yeah, Much Ado. That's Much Ado About Nothing. Amazing. It's supposed to be really good. It tanked at the box office. Like, did nothing.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. It's too bad because. Whatever. We have been conditioned to think movies are supposed to be loud, obnoxious, and stupid, and that's all the stuff we ever go to. When something's quiet and interesting and rich and, you know, introspective, it's there for 5 seconds or doesn't make it to the theater at all and ends up direct to DVD or on cable. It's unfortunate because I feel like the theater has become the place for explosions, which, again, I don't mind a good explosion, but gone are the days where you go there to see a really important independent film and have that succeed. I feel
like Netflix and streaming is going to be the place for those types of films.
I agree. It's like, I mean, think of the world I lived in before Netflix, where I once in a while saw a documentary I kind of liked. Mm-hmm. Now I get to pick from this crop of stuff that I'll never see otherwise. This weird I Think We're Alone Now movie, which I totally recommend, by the way.
It's on my watch list. I've been meaning to watch it. Yeah, so it does look strange.
But
yeah.
But where else would I have gotten that? I would have never been exposed to it otherwise. So I complain all I want about movie theaters, but we live in a renaissance period when it comes to actually getting the content you want to see.
You know what I think it is too? I know me personally, I do not like crying in a movie theater with people around me. So if you think about the more poignant
You wouldn't like sitting next to me during Up then, because I lost it.
or Reggie.
Yeah.
But true, if there's a chance that I might be crying in a film, I'll probably, it's because the turnaround time for theater to, you know, video on demand was what, 3 months, 4 months? Then I'll wait for it. So that might be a factor in some people's minds too.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Well, I'm going to check out Spork. Why the hell not?
Yeah, Spork. I cried.
Did you really? All right. If Nicole cried, then chances are.
But I also laughed a lot. There were some really funny, just unexpected laugh out loud moments of it too.
An emotional roller coaster.
Yes.
To satisfy the generations. All right, number three. What do we got for number three?
All right, so my third and final, a dark black comedy. I think I would hope both of you have seen this.
What's that?
The 1986 film Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
Oh, of course. I totally have. This is not my beautiful car. This is not my beautiful. It's got that. It's got that Talking Head song in it.
Yes, yes.
And Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
Nick Nolte is amazing in this. He plays a bum living on the beach, and he has just an interesting perspective of life. And he meets Richard Dreyfuss and his wife Bette Midler. Mm-hmm. Little Richard's in it. The dog, I don't know the dog's name, but the dog's awesome.
Yeah. The dog is great.
The scene where he eats the dog food with the dog is probably one of the best scenes. It's a great film. There's these people that seem to have everything, right? They have a huge house. They have a successful business and their life is falling apart. And Nick Nolte comes in and integrates himself into their house.
Yep.
And yeah, it's a funny, after yes. That.
It is dark, though. It is weird and dark. It's not not your typical thing.
It totally isn't. Yeah, people went into that thinking it was going to be this big comedy, and no, there's some dark parts.
And I don't know why the Talking Heads part is so sticks out in my memory. Like, I just remember
it's a very funny song.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. See, I don't even remember that honestly.
Well, this is not my beautiful car. It's that whole song, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. You probably know this.
Name. Once in a lifetime. Yeah,
yeah. Once in a lifetime. That thing. Is just to me the movie and that song are permanently married. I can't think of one without the other.
Wow.
Yeah, it's worth seeing. If you haven't seen it, totally
streaming.
Totally
there
should.
You go.
That might be a. That would be. I don't know if it's the most sackable thing, but could be interesting.
Yeah,
could be an interesting film sack.
Something to consider for sure.
Yeah, every once in a while we like to have something a little bit heady, and I think that movie qualifies. But the one thing I don't like about it is the cover, the movie poster,
the box art.
Is. It may as well just have a giant in giant pink letters. It's the 80s.
Yeah, right.
Check us out.
Right,
we're doing
with the big
an 80s
pink lettering
movie.
And the palm trees and all that sort of thing.
And the way people are posed. Like, look at
right.
them.
Right.
Like, hey, check us out. Like, it's just, it may as well be Beverly Hills Cop. It may as well be, well, there's Beverly Hills in it too, but yeah. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain thing.
I like the fact that Nick Nolte in that whole movie looks like the Nick Nolte mugshot that came out just a few years later.
I am such an enormous fan of Nick Nolte's, and I really like some of his recent stuff. If you haven't been kind of catching up on what Nick Nolte's been up to lately, you're missing out.
He's doing that horse racing.
Yes.
Series. What is it called?
Luck. That's it. Well, it's over now. They cooked it, but he was great in it. For as short as it lasted. You heard why they canceled that, right? So that thing was, it's the creators of Deadwood. It was all-star cast. Like, it had him, but also, what's his name? I can't think anymore. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. What's the graduate?
Hoffman? Dustin
Hoffman was in it. He was the main dude in it.
Okay.
Yeah. So Hoffman, a whole bunch of other people. And it critically, everyone's loving it. And then horses started dying on the set.
What?
Yeah. So like they were having these like horses that would either get overworked and die suddenly, or they had to put one down for a broken leg or something. And it was something like two or three horses later, they were like, that's it. We got to call it.
Oh, no.
So they canceled the series on HBO because of dying horses, which is crazy. Anyway.
It is.
Well, I mean, you don't want horses to die, I suppose, but. Start bringing in fake ones, big rubber ones. Be fine with me.
people dressed up in those those two-part horse costumes.
Yeah, guy
right?
in the back, right. That wouldn't be hard to... That wouldn't be distracting in your otherwise very hard-hitting drama. These are all good recommendations. People should check it out. Also, they should be checking out recommendals.com.
Two M's, yep.
Two M's. Is it on its own? The podcast feed is up now, right?
Yes, it's in iTunes now. So
explain to people how that works. What do they get when they subscribe to that?
So if they subscribe to that, they basically get this segment. I had people say they've missed a few of the segments because they just hadn't had a chance. That, you know, you do the morning stream four mm-hmm. days a week, so not everybody can find the time to listen. So
what?
I know.
Shocking.
So I decided to just kind of pull it out and put it in its own feed for anybody that wants to rewatch or re-listen, and there it is.
Brilliant.
So it's in iTunes and on the site recommendals.com.
Very nice. Go check it out. Follow her on Twitter at Nicole Spag. Nicole, thanks so much for making time on a Tuesday.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Good luck, Mateo. Oh, before you go, we got to play this real quick. So this is what Mateo was saying when he gets his new ear holes. There you go.
Exactly.
See you later. Have a good one.
Bye.
Oh, I cut her off. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. All right, Brian, that went well. I feel good about it. So that leads us into the final segment of the show, which involves emails. Those emails, which I speak of, are brought to you by
Pause Your Game Podcast, covering all things video game related with discussions ranging from the possibility of smells in video games all the way down to making up our own games, such as Sharknado, Destroyer of Worlds. You can listen at pauseyourgame.com. I'm guessing Pause Your Game, that even though the ad is attached to it.
I believe you are correct. Yeah, yes. They just...
Pauseyourgame.com.
Yeah, there was just a goof there. Pauseyourgame.com. Go check it out. Hey, guys, got one email, and it's a long one. That's why there's only one, but I wanted to read this because I think this is cool to read. It makes it... It's one of the reasons we just love doing the show, because we get stories like this. So here you go. Hi, Scott and Brian. I am a 27-year-old lady in Boston. I think 27-year-olds should still be girls. You know what I mean? That feels too... You're too young to be a lady.
You wouldn't have said that at 19.
No, I wouldn't have. No way in hell I would have.
But as 44, it's like, yeah. 27, you're a girl.
Yeah. And this is the thing I keep coming away from this thing on the baseball documentary, Ken Burns thing, is that, like, they're showing me a picture of Babe Ruth and some video of him hitting balls and getting records and doing all this stuff. And he's running around the bases, and the narrator's like... And he did all of this before he was even 35. And I'm like, he was 35 in that photo? There's no way. Like, there's something's changed. Something changed in people and ages, because 35 now does not look like 35 in 1919 or something. Those guys all look 1,000 years old. And I don't know what's happening. I don't know if it's nobody had sunblock. They were just a harder generation. Like, I don't know what happened.
Whole lot of drinking.
Maybe just a harder life or something. Because they all die by like 41.
Right.
And you're like, holy crap. You died at 41?
Let's say Ken Burns were to announce that he's doing a documentary on the West Wing. Would you just explode?
I might not be able to I might not be able to move. That might be the most amazing. He is. His next one is. I think it's his next one is the Vietnam one. I'm really looking forward to
Jennifer
that.
Aniston.
Yes. Aww. No, thank you. I don't want that. If the thing he's working on looks really good, I'm stoked. Really? Whatever. That guy's a national treasure. He can never go away.
Yeah. For sure.
I'm 27-year-old lady in Boston, says this anonymous writer. She wanted to be anonymous on the air. I want to say hello, share my story, and let you know that I love the show, though. I've been struggling with anxiety for most of my adult life, and one of my biggest problems has been getting up in the morning. The minute the alarm clock goes off, I'm stuck in this panic that is indescribable. The thought of getting out of bed, getting ready, walking the dog, sitting in traffic, going to work is too much somehow. It made me quite sick for a very long time, but after trying all kinds of medications and the whatnot, I've stumbled upon an unexpected treatment that is actually working. I know it probably sounds ridiculous, but I am randomly listening to TMS one day for the first time, or I was randomly listening to TMS one day for the first time while I was walking my dog during the crappiest, shittiest snowstorm ever. After about 15 minutes, I realized I was actually enjoying walking the dog in the storm. I had a eureka moment. I decided to try an experiment. I told myself that from now on, in the mornings, I'm going to put on yesterday's TMS during my morning routine that I dread so much. Such a stupid, simple idea. And yet, after a few days, I started to notice that I was actually kind of enjoying my mornings. I've been a loyal listener ever since. Somehow now, I even catch myself getting up in anticipation to see what you guys are talking about. Today. Is it wrong that I just want to talk about Breaking Bad all the time? She says in parentheses. Anyway, I would probably sound like a pretty small win, but for me, it has been a huge deal. Thank you both for taking the time to do what you do. Your incessant ramblings and crazy antics are helping me get through the day, and that is no small task. Keep it up, Anonymous, on the air.
That's so cool.
That's really cool. That's a huge deal. Listen, coming from a guy, I've said it on the show before and I'll say it again. I have some issues with anxiety stuff. So I totally know where you're coming from. It's, you know, some of this stuff's just freaking chemicals, the way we're born, and we have to figure out ways to cope and deal with it. And the fact that we are helping you do that is awesome. And that makes me really, really happy. So congratulations. Oh, and I hope totally. I hope it stays that way for you. I mean, we're not stopping the show. So, you know, by the time this is all done, you should be president or something. First Lady President of these United States. Anyway, thank you for that. And we really appreciate this kind of feedback. If you guys have a story of your own you'd like to share on the show, let us know. We'd like to read more of these. They're all great. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. All right. Let us get done. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Tom Merritt, jury. I'm thinking about having him on at the same time, just as a experiment.
You could. I will just sit down. I will turn off my microphone because there's no way I'm getting a word in edgewise.
Well, like you could even say I should turn off my mic and Tom should turn off his mic and we'll just let jury take over.
That's right. Totally.
Let that show go 3 hours. Very much looking forward to that, though. That'll be great. So tune in tomorrow for that. I want to thank everybody at alphageekradio.com for the Shoutcast stream we enjoy each day. Always good to have that. Support us by buying our t-shirt at /loot.com, our mug at frogpants.com/store. There's a bunch of other stuff there that you can get as well. AIE fans will want to put their ear to the ground and watch for an announcement coming up soon. We're going to come up with a way to make BlizzCon even more awesome for people who are part of the guild. More on that soon. You'll hear about that on the instance as well. Visit us on the web, frogpants.com/TMS, facebook.com/TheMorningStream. Email us themorningstream@gmail.com. We're on email. Twitter us. I don't like saying that either. Find us on Twitter. Tweet us. Follow us at MorningStream. That's at MorningStream. Scott Johnson and Coverville. It's Tuesday. That means Coverville. What's going on in Coverville?
I believe it's going to be an indie hodgepodge, which are some of my favorite shows, because you just never know what you're going to get.
You never know.
I think you're going to get, I can tell you that you will probably get a Lumineers cover of the Talking Heads' Naive Melody, because someone at their label just sent me a copy of that, and it's awesome. So look for that. And
I only know two songs, really. Burning Down the House. I know that, and I know the This Is Not Your Beautiful Car song.
You know Naive Melody. It's the one that goes, home is where I want to be, but I guess I'm already there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do know that one.
Yeah, you know a lot more Talking Heads than you think you know.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, great. I'm looking forward to that very much so. Watch for that. Coverville.com. Also on Twitter, Coverville will let you know when he goes live.
Yes, 3 p.m. It'll be 3 p.m. here, and in the only time zone that matters. So yeah, stick around.
Get in the tadpole. Enjoy that. Be here live.
please.
All right. Speaking of music, you probably got something to play.
I do. How about a request for something uplifting? This one comes from Hyper Waffle in the forums. Dear Birdum and Squirtle, I've been an avid Frog Pants listener for the past 5 years, and your oral stimulation gets me through my days with occasional soda shot out the nose reaction to a funny Scott made. I apologize for the almost last minute request as my birthday is on the 20th, but this year marks something special. More than just my taking up space on yet another revolution, my daughter Samantha will start her very first day of school a few days after my birthday. Aww. She's very clever, bright, and makes me laugh with her usage of words no normal 5-year-old should use, such as fortitude and abbreviation. She's also a budding artist and a talented singer and dancer.
I think we can agree those two words are not to be uttered by someone
I'd
that young.
I'd love to hear a 5-year-old say fortitude.
That's great.
She's quite nervous but also excited about her first day of school. And I know I'd be thrilled would be thrilled if she got a special shout out and maybe some encouraging words from two righteous dudes who have already been through what will be a first for me. Brian, if you could find some uplifting song that would make her day, which will in turn make my birthday all the more special, I would appreciate it. Rub the snow globe, Xenos, aka Hyper Waffle, in the forums, Twitter, etc.
I bet she says that word you screwed up better than you say it.
I'll bet she does. Yeah. Uplifting, not uplifting.
Uplifting fortitude.
Uplifting. Yes. Well, this seemed like a great way to play a great uplifting song about kind of that generation gap, that time when you look back at when you were a kid and say, man, I wish I knew then what I know now. And a lot of people probably already know the song I'm going to play. It's a cover of a song by The Faces, which originally had Rod Stewart doing vocals on it. This one comes from a brand new album by Matt Wirtz called Whenever, Wherever, came out this year. And I just love his stuff. His brand new album actually has a newer album than this. This was kind of like an inclusion on an EP single. He actually has a brand new album, and I'll tell you the name of it. Hold on a second here. And it's about to come out. I got an advanced copy of this too, and it's like listening to a tribute to the 80s Whitesnake and kind of not the heavy metal all the way in, but like that Journey, REO Speedwagon, all that stuff.
Oh, that era, yeah.
Yes, and it's such great stuff.
It's like primordial hair band is what that stuff is.
That's right. Yeah, my iTunes is stuck right now. I'm getting the spinning beach ball, so I guess I'm not going to be able to tell you. But it's Matt Wirtz, Wertz. Do a search for him on Amazon. You'll find not only this song, but you'll find his upcoming album, and you should check it out. It's really, really good.
Fantastic.
This is a cover of The Faces, Ooh La La. And it's a great adaptation, and it's such a great uplifting song. I love this, and makes me nostalgic for the days when Tristan was going off to school and taking the bus, and we'd walk him to the bus stop and all that stuff.
And they were so bright eyed and excited, and school was like this huge adventure.
Now they hate it. They're just cheating.
Yeah, that's like Christmas. Eventually you hate it. All right. So Ice Warm, speaking of being nostalgic, some time ago back in the TFS, like the Final Score days when it was just me and Brian, Cole hadn't joined the show yet, and we had gotten an email from someone we'd never heard of before, and it was Ice Warm. And I just want to share this little 8-second clip that was dug up from the annals of Frog Pants history. So here it is. Check it out. Someone named Mike Boyd wrote, "Hello, Steve and Brian."
Hey, Steve.
Steve. I am not Steve.
You are now.
Anyway, so I had a good laugh about that. Originally, perennial intern Mike Icewarm was a listener who called me Steve. So thanks, dude. Appreciate it. Here it is. It's Ooh La La. See you guys tomorrow. Too kind.
could never let it show. I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was younger, I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was stronger, you can't cancel such a pretty show. You steal your heart away. Backstage, back on earth again. The dressing rooms are great. They come on strong, late too long.
Tomatoes were like black, and tomatoes aren't supposed to be black.